Ryan Russillo joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I would assume all of us would be shocked if there are fans in stands at any time this calendar year, correct?
I don't know. I mean, that seems to be the consensus. More people would agree with you, but I just don't know how we could be sitting here in April going that we know there's no way we could see people in the stands. Forget September, but I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit too optimistic about this still, and I know that's tough to do, but I don't know why we couldn't see a version of this. We're headed in a direction where we go, well, wait a minute, well, maybe we can have fans in there. I also, you know, the fan part of it in the stadium is honestly the least important part as far as the product. It is the most important part. We're talking about safety, but I mean, you'd be asking me to reference models from 2 weeks ago that we don't want to reference anymore. So when I look at some of the models of what this could mean, and this is again outside of my comfort lane here, but some of the stuff I'm looking at right now that you're looking at, that people are listening to are looking at right now, we may look at that stuff in 2 weeks and go, wait a minute, maybe we didn't really know what we were doing there because this is so unprecedented. So that's kind of, I'm almost this clueless optimist on some of this stuff. So
sure.
I'm not saying, hey, you're wrong. I just wouldn't be ready to say something that definitive about November and December in April.
The NBA usually, as much as any other professional sports league, has their T's crossed and their I's dotted. Do they have, as far as you know, several plans that are already laid out for different scenarios?
The better way would probably be call them ideas, you know, as opposed to plans. And that's just semantics, so it's not like I'm correcting you because I don't want to come off as a jerk. I think that's what these guys are doing. Is they're
jerk.
I'm trying to be nice. I think it's a lot of different things. Like, you know what I'm not going to do? What we would do in radio is that, oh, here's a new proposal. Okay, well, here are the 10 reasons this is stupid because I'm a radio host, you know? I'm on the other way, you know, on the other way of looking at it. Like, you want to throw out a horse? Okay, I don't care. Go ahead. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You want to have some sort of version of this where it's isolated to, you know, a Vegas Summer League version of it? Like, Simmons and I were going back and forth. He's like, it's just going to be so brutal to watch this without fans. I go, you're not even going to notice after, like, the third or fourth game. You just aren't. So, yes, they're trying to figure out if there's a location to get everybody in the same place to do it, if there's a way to put on other events, is it a kind of tournament? The one thing that has been consistent through all the uncertainty is that everyone believes that they have to let these guys play 5 to 7 games, some version of it, before you actually say, okay, hey, the playoffs start. I don't think anybody, players, owners, league, nobody wants them to just say, okay, round one, next Thursday, let's go, even if the schedule is tight.
Sure. Yeah. Ryan Russillo joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Before we get to the Bulls, one more about the NBA. Do you believe that this will ultimately lead to that resetting of the NBA calendar where pushing it back will force them next year to start in December and we'll all be like, oh, wow, this works. This is good. The NBA should own December through September and it will never be what it used to be.
Yeah, it's something we've talked about. I don't know if that's what you're referencing, because then I know it came up at the Sloan conference
after
Simmons and I had done like a long pod on it. And it was just something I had thought about. I had called people about it before. And so I'm with you. I think that the NBA should just go, hey, you know what? After July, NBA free agency is this dead period. Anybody that's ever done this, we know. It used to be baseball. Baseball doesn't resonate nationally, and that's why you have the big three. That's why you have the basketball tournament. You have all these other things that are coming up. They're going, you know, there's kind of this dead six-week period for national sports entertainment. Let's try to capitalize on it. I think the NBA should just say, okay, that's ours, actually. Starting Christmas, we go to the end of August, and then football can just take over. Now, I think that that would work. People that say, well, you know, the NBA loves owning social media. They love all the NBA free agency drama and all that stuff. But that doesn't feed anybody. Like, so much of that stuff is so fake. Like, cool, a ton of people are tweeting about you right now. Oh, this many impressions means this. Well, does anybody write me a check? No. You know who writes me a check? Is somebody that is putting my product on the TV and then they're selling my product to advertisers. Now, as I've talked to the NBA about this in the past, their pushback was, and you're right, like, they're more progressive, they're more open-minded, but they said, you know, and I'm not like the first guy that's ever thought of this, but there's a study that they've done, because I've already looked into it, that there's a concern that because kids are out of school, people are vacationing, that the number of televisions, the data tells them the number of televisions that are on during those 6 weeks or so, those 2 months, are just lower. Now, my counter to that would be, even if there's less people at home watching TV, since you don't really have any competition and you're competing with football for like the first half of your regular season, could an argument be made that it'd be better to own a period when less people are home but more people are watching you to kind of counter the fact that less TVs are on? And they were like, yeah, no, that's totally. And now maybe they'll get a chance to study this and see what it is. But then will this year's number be a real number? You know, will this number be massive because everybody just had months of isolation in a way that we've never experienced, any of us, any of our lives? So will that number be a real rating number because people had sports on TV for the first time of ever being denied it in their life? Or will that number be the foundation to changing this thing forever because they go, hey, this is something we can really invest in? Because then you got to worry about that. Because maybe it's the fake number because everybody was just really excited to watch sports again, and that next summer everybody is on vacation. So there's no real way to define it to know exactly what would happen. I think they should do it just to stop competing with football. Let football own the fall, start up in Christmas, and there you go.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, Bulls-centric, doesn't really matter how I feel about this Bulls job that is open. How does the rest of the NBA universe and those that would be pursuing this job, how is this job perceived out there?
I think it's, historically, we know what's going to happen. Whoever gets it's going to go, this is the greatest franchise, even though, the Lakers and Celtics resumes are different. But we already know, I can already tell you what the introductory press conference is going to be. If anybody that gets it, they're going to be hammering home the tradition and bringing everything back. Like, we've already seen it a million times. The jobs are about owners and, I would say at this point, players. Like, if you wanted to be a GM of this team, you go, okay, well, what do I have in Reinsdorf? Honestly, if I were a GM, I'd love to work for him because I'm never going to lose my job.
Right.
Like, this is amazing. Talk about job security when everybody else is getting fired after 3 or 5 years. But then if you look at the roster, if you have your choice of situations, like, I think that's why some of the bigger names are just saying, hey, I'm not interested. Like, with Masai Toronto, I've heard he's going to the Knicks forever, and then he wasn't. And, everybody was always kind of waiting for him to go do, like, the next big step-up thing because he hammered it in Toronto. I mean, he did. But that's not shocking to see him turn it down. But you have to kind of look at your own situation. So if you're Lloyd in Orlando and you have a bunch of people ahead of you in Orlando, which they do in that power structure, this is a great job for him. If you're Masai and you've just delivered a ring to Toronto and you're maybe waiting for some other big city deal, this might be not, might not be the right fit. If you're Simon down in Miami, you may say, okay, well, look, Pat's getting older and I've done a great job here and everybody thinks the world of me. And I've been here since I was a video coordinator. So I know all the surroundings. I know what to expect when I show up to work on Monday. I'm good. I'm not going anywhere. So we can talk about the tradition of the Bulls, a major market, how awesome that city is, how great the fans are. But it really depends on potential GM's current situations where they go, okay, do I have a better chance to win where I'm at now? Well, based on the Bulls roster, probably for most of the guys that are in the mix. Or do you not worry about the roster and go, okay, I either have a great secure situation where I know I'm the next in line and the succession plan, like some of the names are being floated around, or do you go, hey, there's no way I could be a GM in my current situation in 5 years, so I'm going to go do the Bulls job. So I think you have to look at it that way based on the individual more so than just, hey, the Bulls is a top five job. Okay, is it? I mean, I love that city. I love that tradition. I think it's one of the five best franchises. But in 2020, is it one of the five best jobs? Not based on the roster. And that has nothing to do with how great the city is.
Ryan Russillo joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Here's the part that Bulls fans are worried about, Ryan. How would you feel? You're a hot shot who the Bulls are trying to get an interview with, talk to, and possibly hire. John Paxson was a player here. He was an assistant coach here. He was the team's broadcaster here. And he's been either the general manager or vice president since 2003. He still is going to have a job, but they're saying, we're giving you the basketball operation reins. You have autonomy. Are you trusting that?
Normally I just say no. I go, no, I'm not going to do that. But you got to figure all that stuff out ahead of time. Like, you got to look at him and say, hey, whose deal is this? Is it my deal or your deal? Because if it's your, and then if he says, oh, no, it's your deal and you don't believe him, then don't take the job. I know he said some pretty crazy stuff about, like, if it's for the better of the organization, I'll step down. I know a lot of you guys in Chicago are really skeptical about that. I was reading KC's thing, and he was kind of making the argument that, no, he'd really want to step down if that's the case. I mean, most people don't want to stop getting really nice paychecks. I've learned that.
Right.
You know, like, if I were the GM of a team and it wasn't doing well, and I'd been there almost two decades, but somebody was like, hey, we'll still pay you, you know, $500,000 a year to, you know, be part of the team and kind of have an advisory role, I probably wouldn't want to turn down that money. So maybe there is a version of this where, hey, it is somebody else's gig, but I'm just going to keep on the payroll because the owner likes me. I've been on the team. I was on the broadcast. I've been in the front office since 2003. I don't hate you. It didn't work out. And you know what? I'm going to let you stick around. But you would have to be the new guy coming in because, you know, I remember in Boston, Patino took that gig. Patino got paid an astronomical amount of money in 1997 to be the head of everything and the coach to the point where he was even – you know, saying, well, you know, Larry wants to coach or be an executive. We need to figure that out. But if he's not on the same page, like Patino was basically already telling you he was going to kick Bird out of the organization. Bird bounced to the Pacers. He even basically told Red Auerbach to beat it. And people were so desperate for Rick Pitino, they kind of went along with it. And I'm not saying that Paxton is Larry Bird or Red Auerbach. But what I'm telling you is, you know, you can come in and fire everybody, and it sounds great to the fans and people going, cool, it's finally turning the page. But if Paxton's letting the next guy do his job, him just being around, it doesn't have to be as bad as I think people make it out to be, even though I know the history and how sensitive people are about all the power struggles and all the back and forth stuff and all the undermining that I've read and heard about. But I know you guys want a totally clean slate there, but the new guy's just going to have to trust the answer he gets from Paxton, and that's up to him.
Easier said than done, yeah. Ryan, great stuff. Stay safe, stay healthy. Love talking to you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Oh, you guys are the best. Stay safe. Thank you.
There you go. Ryan Russillo is awesome. Longtime ESPN guy, does the Ringer stuff, him and Simmons, and always has a lot of thoughts. Yeah, go ahead, Waddle.
No, I was going to say real quick, that's my favorite battle cry of all. Well, if John Paxson really had a special place in his heart for this Bulls team, he would just walk away and turn it over to someone. Okay, you turn down $2 million a year. You tell me how that goes.
I want to counter that, though, with something with you coming up next. And Joe Cowley on if Bulls fans should feel optimistic on this whole Bulls thing. All that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
So, Waddle, what were you saying about the fans who say to Pax what?
I said I think it's the easiest battle cry in the world for people to think that somebody is because they've had enough time in a job or it hasn't gone well, that they're just going to bow out and give up a high-paying job. There's two things here. It's the high-paying job. Nobody wants to give up, let's just put a round number on it, $2 million a year job. And those that are passionate about what they do, despite their inability to reach the high heights that they set for themselves, still believe that they can fix something. So my point is that to think that someone is going to step away because they are hearing the fans scream in a very loud fashion, I don't necessarily think that that's, you know, that's not reasonable. Most people don't step away from jobs that pay that kind of money and that they feel they can still get things back on the right track with. I don't think that happens very regularly.
I get it, what you're saying. The other thing, though, that I would say is, isn't that report being fueled by what KC is saying and what Cowley wrote today? Like, Pax is like, supposedly the reports are, Pax is like, well, if you want me to leave, I'll leave. Like, what are you doing? Like, you said this about Mitch, about you either blank or get off the pot, right? Like, okay, you've been on the pot for 17 years, all right? You haven't blanked yet, and so it's time to leave. Like, this being in no man's land of, well, you know what? I'll just be down the hall as an advisor, and I'm here if you need me. And if you really don't want me, then I'll leave. I promise. I'll take my stuff and I'll go. But Jerry wants me to go, and he knows Jerry doesn't want him to go.
Okay, well, let me ask you, if you're in Pax's situation, are you giving up a $2 million?
But I'm not then saying or telling people that, hey, this is the way I'm doing it.
Because look,
I want to keep my job. I want to still be the guy.
Well, maybe what he's doing is answering the questions of whether or not John Paxson will have any say at all. So when the new general manager or whatever his title is comes in, will he have full autonomy? Maybe that's his answer to that question. I have no idea. But again, my only point is people don't normally give up high-paying jobs when there's only 30 of them on the landscape just because they're feeling the pressure from the outside.
It's just it's just weird. The Bulls have had a history of guys, you know, pooping where they eat. You know, like Doug Collins was supposed to be an advisor and he was sitting in the coach's room. And what was the report? Boylan didn't want him in the coach's room anymore. Well, what's his role then? I mean, what's the role? Like, you have all these undefined roles for years in this Bulls organization. One minute Pax is running the show. And then they're like, oh, don't worry that we hired Fred. That wasn't Pax's hire. That was Gar's hire. So it's just weird when, like, you get a tour of an office, Waddle, like you say, okay, you're new here. Here's where the CEO is. Here's where the owner is. And you're like, well, who's this dude over here? Well, he's sort of your boss, but he's not your boss because you have all the power in the world until he decides to come on down and then sit in on a meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing the copacetic nature of the job. I mean, that's a separate conversation. I'm just saying for all of the people that are holding out hope that Pax just resigns, I think that's unrealistic for the reasons I mentioned.
Sure.
I'm not telling you that it's not a... Listen, there are professional sports organizations where you walk in and you feel like, oh, I understand that, and I understand that, and I understand that. Obviously, at this point, this isn't one of those situations. My only point, I'm not trying to sell you that they're all, you know, that they're all on the same page or that this is a wonderful place to walk in. It's just the concept that I think some people feel like somebody's going to walk away from a high-paying job just because, you know, it hasn't gone the way they wanted to go. There are people in every walk of life that haven't done a great job at their job requirement that aren't going to resign.
Right. Here's Joe Cowley. Should the Bulls fans feel finally optimistic that this is real, real change? And remember, Cowley's been a big skeptic of this Bulls team for years, and he writes for the Sun-Times. He was on with Carmen and Yurko.
Well, yeah, you should feel good about that, but you got to get the right guys in play. You know what I mean? Understanding that you needed a complete restructure of your departments is one thing, but making sure that, you know, it's a nice blueprint, but you still need people to come in and build it and put it together and make sure you have, you know, you carry out those blueprints. So to me, that's the thing that, you know, Bulls fans should be a little concerning. Are the right guys going to be brought in? And you know, I just posted a story on the website a couple minutes ago before I came on with you. This idea that people have that Paxson is going to somehow be this obstacle, they need to get that out of their head. He's not wired that way. If, you know, I was told if the Reinsdorfs or this new look front office, however it ends up being, want John completely out of the picture, he's willing to do so. He's kind of to the point now where he wants what's best for the organization, and he's not being a martyr about it. He's being very factual, you know, he's not like that. He's not a game player where, hey, maybe I'll just say this so it sounds good. So people think I you know, if the Reinsdorfs want him out of the way, if this new LeCron office wants him out of the way or doesn't want to use him as an advisor and he becomes just a sounding board for Michael Reinsdorf or Jerry with no decision-making powers or presence, he's willing to do that. And if they want him out of the picture altogether, he's willing to do that. He's kind of – John's gotten to a place where I think it's been a transformation, just me personally dealing with him the last 3 to 4 years where – things really bothered him, and he'd get really pissy about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, to the point now where this was as good a mood and as friendly and as positive as I saw him was this season. And maybe because the writing was on the wall, maybe he'd become kind of at peace with this whole idea of where this thing was going to go. But, you know, I mean, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we were getting, you know, little memos and little, you know, remarks, whether we're talking to Mike or whatever, that, hey, you guys got to stop this Gar Pax stuff. John really doesn't want to be lumped in this Gar Pax title that you guys have given him. It's not fair to him. you know, and just nitpicky stuff like that, to the point now where I think he was just kind of known to everything. And I really do think, at the end of the day, people can say what they want about John Paxson. And look, mistakes have been made. The guy just wants the Bulls to succeed. Whether he's getting paid by them or not getting paid by them, he just really has always wanted that. That doesn't mean he's been equipped to do that or not equipped to do that. But to judge him as this guy that has been blocking their success is just not fair. And there's been other things that have been bigger problems, if you ask me.
Cowley's usually a pot stirrer, so that should be an optimistic viewpoint from a guy who has not been scared to call these guys out.
I would say that if you're looking for significant change and meaningful change, I think that's a positive clip that you just played there. Because Cowley is telling you that Pax is not going to be an obstacle when it comes to the autonomy that would be necessary for somebody of note to take that job. If I'm a Bulls fan, and I am a Bulls fan, and I want a new voice, and I think new eyes and new ears are important right now, that to me was a positive comment made by somebody who has dialed in.
Casey mentioned, too, on his podcast, I guess, that they could have a person in place here at the end of the week or next week. That this thing may move quickly. Maybe it's because they're only interviewing two. Maybe those are the only two. Said yes, Karnisovas and Zanuck from Utah.
We all going to get a Zanuck, right?
We are. We are.
We all need one.
Yeah.
Maybe Pax finally does what everyone has wanted. I don't see that because, you know, I don't think people walk away from high-paying jobs very often. But, you know, maybe at some point he decides he has had enough and he walks, you know, goes in a different direction. But, again, my resounding feeling hearing Joe talk is that whoever gets this job will have full say in all basketball decisions, and that's the way it should be.
Yes, from the ultimate skeptic. Cowley loves to, you know, crapster, as Jerry Angelo used to say, and there was none of that there. We want you to crapster for Would You Rather. That's coming up in an hour. Send us some good Would You Rathers. Hashtag at WS Would You Rather. Either or a question for us. Make them creative. Make us think. Make them fun. Some good stuff coming up in Waddle's World, and that is next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
That is right, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. I got my windows open out here. I'm telling you, this is the nicest day of 2020, isn't it?
It's not even close.
I mean, by leaps and bounds.
I did that. I told my wife, I go, let's open all the windows. Let's air this place out. Let's get some fresh air inside.
Musky.
Yes.
Did you say musky or musty? A musky's a fish.
No, it could be musky if there's a musk in the
yes,
house.
Yes, I think you've confused okay. Musk and must.
No, I think okay. There's could be a musk.
Like Waddle.
I love talking to you every day, but, you know, I miss your musk a little bit.
You do. I'm with you. I miss the smell of you guys. I really do.
You'd be offended if I told you I missed your must.
You don't miss my
yeah,
smell.
Yeah, that's right. No, Sylvie, I mean, the Axe body spray,
It's not Axe, but
whatever you say. Whatever. Meller's usually got a mouthful of gumballs. And Abdallah's usually
it's
got a
gum,
dish.
Right?
I said gumballs. Yeah, he's got a. Abdallah's usually got a Tupperware dish with eggs and turkey bacon in it. Is that pretty accurate?
I do. Well, today it's just eggs and broccoli and some avocado.
See? I mean, I miss you guys.
I'm cutting back.
I offered to come in, and it was immediately before I even got through the statement.
No today.
Before I even got through the statement, hey, guys, you know what? I'll come in. Nope. you're good. Stay where you're at.
Because we've all been exposed to each other. You haven't. And
whatever. Try to doll it up like that.
I don't want to expose myself to you all.
I'm patient zero. Of course, I'm patient zero. I'm just going to send in masks that my daughter makes and take care of you guys.
Woe is me. I get to sit at home and walk into my office at 1:45 and turn on a
conference. My commute home is to the kitchen.
And then I get to enjoy my life with my family.
By the way, my wife just brought in some homemade chicken soup, and it is delightful.
Oh, that could go for that.
Woe is me.
Oh, my God.
When are those masks going to arrive here? Because I could use one of those.
My daughter's trying to navigate through class and sewing at the same time.
Okay,
as soon as she can. Have another gumball, and we'll talk.
Now they're gone. We finished them off
yesterday.
There's
no chance that you could have finished that giant bag of gumballs.
Come on. Those are from the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
Dude, it was like a 4-pound bag of gumballs.
Dude,
and by the way,
that was
pre-coronavirus gumball bag, too.
We had a joke about the coronavirus gumball bag.
Were they the janks? Were they like bad news gumballs?
No, but I just... Everyone had their hand in
there. Because they came from the Super Bowl party, they were in our office in February, and they were a community bag of gumballs.
Yeah.
And then late in February, I started getting itchy about the bag of gumballs being shared with everybody.
Yeah. It's
well, it wouldn't be the virus wouldn't be able to live on it.
Well, that's
really?
Why. No,
we're
Sylvie,
learning
that's
everything.
Why after I allowed them to sit by themselves for 3 weeks, I then
no one
you
was able to
quarantine your gumballs.
Yes, no,
you know what he did? He
them
sprayed
yesterday.
Them all with Lysol.
He's flattened the gumball curve.
Oh boy! Hey, so we talked earlier about Major League Baseball and the union focusing on a plan that could allow the season to start in May, in an optimistic fashion. Major League Baseball responded, and I think Jesse was the first one that sent this out via Twitter when I saw it. Jesse's going to join us at what, 5:15 today, fellas?
He is scheduled for, is it 5:15 or 5:30? 5:15.
Okay. Major League Baseball had a statement. MLB has been actively considering numerous contingency plans that would allow play to commence once the public health situation has improved to the point that it is safe to do so. While we have discussed the idea of staging games at one location as one potential option, we have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan. While we continue to interact regularly with governmental and public health officials, we have not sought or received approval of any plan from federal, state, and local officials or the Players Association. The health and safety of our employees, players, fans, and the public at large are paramount, and we are not ready at this time to endorse any particular format for staging games in light of the rapidly changing public health situation caused by the coronavirus. So, listen, for everyone that wants the brakes to be tapped, and I understand why, Major League Baseball, with this press release, I think did just that. That we're talking, but we have not agreed to anything. We don't have any concrete plan. Which, as I said earlier, I'd be pissed if we got to May 1st and things did advance on the medical front, and there was a possibility to do something in Major League Baseball and the Players Association said, well, I wish we would have had a plan for this.
Well, yeah, they got to continue to plan, and it's got to be something that's fluid as well.
Yes. Commissioner Gary Bettman has raised the possibility the regular season may not be completed in the NHL. It's marked the first time Bettman has mentioned the possibility of the league not being able to complete the regular season in saying, quote, nothing has been ruled in, nothing has been ruled out. Bettman noted the league requires a clearer picture on the impact of the virus pandemic, which he hopes will happen in the next few weeks.
Why not, like, let's say hockey can come back in October, right? Like normal. Let's say they can. Why not finish the season then? And then
have an abbreviated 2020.
And then start a new season in January.
But just start the season. It starts in October.
The point would be what's more lucrative, you know, if they can get going and they can play more regular season games.
It's like the Daytona 500 where you get the Super Bowl of racing at the start of the year. You would have the hockey season begin basically with the last stretch of games.
But then you need free agency.
Well, but that money.
Oh, that's true, too.
That would be
not just that, but
that
the money is already.
How cool would that be if they came back for. Yeah, like 1 month, and then all of a sudden they have like a week of free agency, and then they start it back up again.
That's kind of cool.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I think also, look, this is they're trying to maximize the revenue that is collected. So to do what you do, what you're saying is, I get it. I think it makes sense, but that also is them foregoing the opportunity to capture whatever money could be left on the table for the 2019-2020 season. And don't be fooled, people. There is an enormous financial component to all this, and it's not callous. It's just we live in a capitalist environment, and people are going to try to make money if they have an opportunity to make money. Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy aims for a May 1st return to the office. You know the college ball coaches.
Oh, yeah.
They want to go yesterday.
Me out. Yeah.
I was just reading his quote. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, here's
Is
the quote.
Is it like I'm a man?
Yeah, well, basically, here's the quote. We get people that get the flu during the season. We quarantine them. We treat them. We make sure they're healthy. We bring them back, Gundy said. It would be the same thing here, but at some point, we've got to go back to work. We've got to get these guys back in here. From what I read, the healthy people can fight this. The antibodies make it better. Dr. Gundy is stepping in now. They're doing some blood transplants now with the people that have already gotten the disease, that have gotten over it, and have the antibodies that can fight it. There's a lot of people who can figure this out. May 1st is our goal. Don't know if it will happen. Players will come in after that, and I'm a man.
Oh, boy.
He didn't say I'm a man.
He had an hour-long teleconference that started with a 20-minute monologue. I'm not kidding.
No, he really went for 20 minutes?
He went a 20-minute monologue in the beginning. I'm reading these quotes. A 20-minute monologue to start. In my opinion, we need to bring our players back. They're 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22 years old. They're all healthy. They have the ability to fight this virus off. If that is true, then we sequester them. If they and continue, because we need to run money through the state of Oklahoma.
By the way, speaking of monologues, don't
Did he say that, Abdallah, or did you add that?
No. This
oh,
is what he
did
said.
Say that?
Yes. That's a quote. We need to run money through the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah, but we need money in our state.
He's
you just
trying
said
to say that these
the
college
dollars.
Players are essential employees.
Speaking of monologues, we have Sebastian Maniscalco on the show tomorrow.
Oh, we do?
Yes. We're going to check in with Sebastian. Jesse's helped us with that. We've had him in studio before, and he's doing a lot of good content online right now. What time is Maniscalco tomorrow?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. So in this hour tomorrow, we'll be talking to Sebastian Maniscalco.
That's fantastic.
Set an alert.
Ravens coach John Harbaugh is concerned about technology security, something we talked about the other day. Harbaugh is worried that sensitive team information is more vulnerable to getting stolen because of the new technology NFL teams are relying upon to connect with players during the pandemic.
If you're Bill Belichick, who are you, do you think...
Is stealing your stuff?
No, I would say whose stuff is he stealing?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he wants Brady to fail.
He knows Brady already, but you're...
The interesting question to me is, both know where the bodies are buried, right? Belichick
yes,
knows
of
where
course,
the bodies
sure.
are buried. Brady knows where the bodies are buried. If one of them comes out, when Belichick won, but if for whatever reason, somebody... No, that was a mean-spirited joke. Somebody, you know...
Sorry.
No, I'm just saying that I don't think it does anybody any good if you pull the curtain back at this point. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. There's enough on
Freezer
both
guy.
Where they're just like, we're cool.
Right.
We're cool.
By the way, Hard Knocks is planning to feature both the Rams and the Chargers for the upcoming season.
L.A. story.
Yeah. I got
only be one episode.
That could be true.
Or if those seasons push back, you got to have a training camp, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You still have to have a ramp-up period.
So you're gonna still get Hard Knocks, I would think.
I got a couple more Sports-a-Roo stories for you, and then I got a Tiger King story, and I've got some other things for you when we come back.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You guys see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers released the pictures of their new jerseys? Like, they look exactly like their old jerseys.
Which
the
old ones?
The creamsicle ones?
No. They didn't go back to the creamsicle stage, which is what I was hoping for. But
they have
no.
little pirate ships on them now, don't they?
They have minor changes, but for the most part, the color schemes are the same. So I didn't think.
Let me Google.
Oh, those suck. What a letdown!
Yeah, did you see that? I mean,
the red ones are
kind of
nice.
More? Yeah, it's okay.
Did they really even change anything?
That's my point.
The little pirate ship. Did they not have the pirate?
Where's
did they also have the pirate
ship? I'm with you.
It's on the sleeve.
They should have gone back to the creamsicles.
I'm with you.
They'll wear those once at least, won't they? The creamsicles? Don't they do like a throwback day? Like
not
the Bears
really.
Do? Yeah,
no.
They do a throwback day.
No, not all the time.
I don't need
to
see.
These are the ones from their Super Bowl era. Yeah.
Yes, they're going back in time.
I don't mind them. They're not bad.
Do you guys see also that it looks like, Abdallah, this is for you.
Oh,
that,
thank you.
You're very welcome. Is it that the, who is it that was projected to pick Tua? And now they're talking about the kid from Oregon?
Okay. All right.
No, seriously. I mean, we're talking about
the Dolphins.
Today.
Yeah, yeah, good luck with that.
Abdallah and Black make a bunch of Justin Herbert jokes,
good
right?
Good luck with that. Justin, I saw Justin Herbert play. I lost a lot of money on Justin Herbert. You've got Joe Burrow.
Well, that sounds like an Adam Abdallah problem, not a Justin Herbert problem.
All right, and then the bottom drops out, and then you've got... It's
a
like
lot of people like Jordan Love.
Yeah, I might take Jordan Love over Justin Herbert. Jordan Love had a worse year last year, but he also lost like half his offensive line. He lost all of his wide receivers. He had no help last year. But Justin Herbert is...
I knew it would light your candle.
Oh, no thank you.
By the way, did you guys see that Dana White says he has secured a private island, for UFC fights?
That's cool. That's really a bubble island, right?
Yeah, yes.
Why not?
The F in UFC will now stand for Firefest.
I'm telling you, I think listen again.
Except they've got the money to put it on, and they're not inviting a crowd to come with.
Right, they're going to do it on a private island where they can control the situation, and they're going to go after it.
Why not?
I do too.
What's wrong with that?
Listen, I had a lot of stuff. I thought Hard Knocks, two teams. I thought I wrote these down. I was thumbs up for that. UFC looking for an island. That's thumbs up.
You know why the Hard Knocks thing would be good if they do the real training camps is just because there has been this format for Hard Knocks that they do every year. They feature one player, whether it's Antonio Brown this past year was great, but then they always foul one guy who may make the team, may not, you know, and this way they could bounce back and forth between situations and pick better storylines because there's two of them instead of just one.
It's a good point. There's more material to work with. Did you guys see the story that Investigation Discovery jumping on the Tiger King phenomenon and green lighting a new program that it bills as the definitive sequel to the hit Netflix docuseries?
So what do you mean? It's just another episode?
It's called Investigating the Strange World of Joe Exotic, and it will examine the life of Joe Exotic, Maldonado, Passage, is that how you pronounce his name? And explore his rival, Carol Baskin, who Joe says has accused her of killing her first husband.
I'm totally in the minority. I just didn't dig it. I didn't like it. Didn't find any of them to be interesting.
I don't think you're in the minority in that.
The
I think
limited
it's a
series
50-50.
Expected to premiere later this year. Yeah, I think that, listen, we all were looking for a little bit of chaos every now and again. And you got it. I just fatigued from it. Like I've watched the first four episodes and I'm exhausted at the thought of having to watch three more.
I've told you I've been on the bandwagon of these murderer documentaries, and like those have been good.
So would you watch it if it was geared more toward the investigation of her murdering her husband?
Like, I just think there are better stories out there. I don't even know how it ends or what happens. I watched two episodes. The first episode, I'm like, wow, this is, whoa. And then after two, I'm like, okay, I don't care about them anymore. That was me, though. But, and I know many people love it.
It ended with that one guy calling into Cap.
Yeah, right.
Listen, I watched the first two episodes. I was a bit... you know, kind of perplexed.
Jeff Lowe, is that his name?
Yeah, Jeff Lowe.
Yeah. Then I watched the next two episodes to make sure none of my relatives were involved, okay? And now that I've gotten through that, I'm going to eventually get to the finish line, but I don't know when. I still have Game of Thrones to get through. So, vices are on the rise as people are quarantined. That doesn't surprise anyone, does it? Housebound and bored, people appear to be drinking more booze, toking more weed. Toking still a word, Adam?
Yeah, sure.
Watching more porn and smoking more cigarettes. These behaviors may alleviate the monotony and short-term lockdown stress, but they store up costs for the future. How about that? The virtual sex trade has gotten a lift. Pornhub, the leading adult entertainment website, according to Jeff Mellor, saw a near 12% increase in global traffic from February 24th to March 17th. So... silence.
I'm surprised it's just 12. I'm surprised it's only 12%.
It also says self-medicating is all the rage. U.S. states, including California, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska, where cannabis is legal, have reported 50% sales increases from March 16th to the 22nd.
Do you think, are we going to come out of this like more addicts and more a fatter country?
I think there's a chance that like the average weight of somebody when we do kind of emerge will be, I think there will be an average weight gain of, let's say, 2 to 4 pounds.
Okay.
I think it can go both ways. I've actually been getting in better shape.
Because
you have
more time and
until I popped my
and
back.
A lot of people are walking. Like the only thing you can really do outside now is like go for walks.
I've turned into the PE teacher for my kids every morning.
I know, it's crazy.
I know, but you're
born. I think Zetterman said on the air that his brother-in-law has gained 11 pounds so far.
Wow. I'm telling you, the average, I think the average American is going to gain anywhere between 2 and 4 pounds before we get out. NASA details their plans for putting a base on the moon. We need to get our astronaut back.
She talked about that, I thought.
Yeah, NASA's plan to return to the moon in 2024 could be in jeopardy, though, due to the virus. Nonetheless, the space agency has put forth plans on how it's going to build a base on the moon. You want to go to the moon, don't you?
If it's safe, I don't want to be like an astronaut and. But if this is, like, safe and they eventually in our lifetime take people to the moon and it would be somewhat affordable, yes, I would
love. So you're saying that if it is a massive risk and it's not safe, you don't want to go.
Well, what's massive risk? I mean,
I think it's always
going to be a risk.
Right.
I'm just saying that if you're telling me that I've got to pony up $1 million for then no. But if space travel becomes more... Like when our
cost effective
grandparents and great grandparents were looking at air travel, then yeah. Like, I mean, eventually, is this going to be more common in 100 years from now? Are we going to have lots of spaceships to and from the moon?
I want to go to South Carolina and sit on the beach. I mean, like, what am I going to do on the moon?
What if Michael Reinsdorf wants Sean Paxton to go to the moon? Will he be willing to do that?
I don't know. Listen, if he wants to do what's best for the organization, maybe he will. By the way, I'll leave you with this. Did you see the two panda bears getting it done?
You guys sent this to me yesterday. Who sent this? The two panda bears.
Of course, it was Meller. Along with the other one. What was the other one you sent, which was classic?
Oh, what was their names?
But it was like a Match.com spoof.
It was a spoof. I didn't realize it was a spoof.
I don't know if I got that.
No, I sent it earlier today. You might have missed it, though. I guarantee you it's in our
By the way.
Josh and Deborah.
It's the story
of Josh and Deborah.
By the way, quickly, a zoo has been trying to get two pandas to mate for 10 years. The zoo shut down because of the coronavirus?
Getting busy. Of course. Got to stay sane.
Dr. Oz's orders.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we've got some people who want to talk to us. If you want to chime in, 312-332-3776. Let's take some calls. We've got Final Four coming up at 4:15 with your favorite musician of all time, of our top four that will go. And I've got a question for you guys about, like, how low will you go for your sports fill? That's up in 2 minutes.